What in the world is Father Abraham doing in today's first lesson? Haggling with the Almighty. We can find a part of the answer to that question in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he writes that we should have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. This is what we call intercessory prayer, and that is what we see happening in the scripture lessons today, both in Genesis and in the Gospel. But before we examine those texts, another question must be answered. If God knows absolutely everything, then we cannot tell him anything he doesn't already know, even the things locked most deeply in our hearts. So, given that God knows everything we will ask, what is the point of making our requests known to him? Well, the point is this: by offering intercessory prayer for ourselves or for others, we are not trying to change God. We are trying to let God change us. When we labor under illusions of self-sufficiency, autonomy, and absolute control of our lives, then we live in self-absorption and become lost in fantasies that lead inevitably to the deception of self and of others. But when we make our requests known to God by prayer and petition, and when we live within our true limits by grace through faith, then the peace of God that surpasses understanding guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Perhaps an analogy will help us grasp this point about the real purpose of intercessory prayer. Some people read the story of Abraham being asked to sacrifice Isaac and conclude that the God of Israel is a monstrous tyrant unworthy of love or adoration. And if a surface reading of that text were its true meaning, such a conclusion would be reasonable. But the point of that event in the life of Abraham and Isaac is not that God is a cruel and sadistic thug. No, Abraham was so ready to murder his own son because human sacrifice, especially of children, was a common feature of pagan worship in Abraham's day, as it has been in every age and remains so today. Understood in its proper depth, the point of that story in Genesis is that through Abraham and Isaac, the true God intervened both to stop human sacrifice and to prepare the world to understand the true sacrifice to come in Jesus Christ. And just so with intercessory prayer. We are not trying to talk God into giving us something he does not want us to have, like children wearing down their mother at the grocery store to get a giant box of chocolate-covered sugar bombs. No, God asks us to make our prayers and petitions known to him so that we will gradually learn that we are dependent upon him for everything, and that we are bound to each other by bonds of love and fellowship, which will be fully known and made perfect only in the communion of saints. That is how we find Christ, how we find in Christ the gift of peace that surpasses understanding. And now we are ready to turn to today's readings. We start in Genesis, once again in chapter 18, where we left off last Sunday, at the Terebinth of Mamre, an ancient place of prayer near Hebron. And here we should stipulate that chapter 18 of Genesis is very strange, even as measured by the standards of the serpent in the garden and Noah's ark. Last week we read about the visit to Abraham of three mysterious visitors who were not men, but heavenly messengers sent from the Lord to promise a son to Abraham and Sarah. Those three visitors were regarded by the fathers of the church as a prefiguring of the Holy Trinity. And in the first lesson today, these visitors are still with Abraham, who is on a journey to the city of Sodom, one of the five cities on the plain near the Dead Sea, which about 2,000 years before the birth of Christ were wiped from the face of the earth by a cataclysm of, how else to say it, biblical proportions. Sodom and Gomorrah, another of the five cities, had a bad reputation for being saturated with sin, and their coming destruction seemed an inevitable consequence of their wickedness. But then Abraham began to intercede with God to be merciful to those cities, even for the sake of 50 or 45 or 40 or 30 or 20 or even 10 righteous people, lest the innocent perish with the guilty. That is intercessory prayer. But remember, in such petitions, we are not trying to talk God into giving us something he does not want us to have. In speaking this way to the Lord, Abraham was not changing the mind of God. He was allowing the Lord to change his own heart. In this case, not to thirst for violence or vengeance against a city given to wickedness that Abraham found repulsive. So do not be misled by a surface reading of this text or its anthropomorphic portrayal of God bargaining with Abraham. As Christ himself explains of the divine purpose in teaching us to ask God for what we need, if you then who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And now we come to the gospel. St. Luke tells us how the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And a central feature of that instruction is persistence, even annoying persistence. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. But once again, remember that in this persistent asking, seeking, and knocking, we are the ones being changed, not the Lord. And so we come to the heart of Christ's teaching on prayer, his own prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Please note that two versions of the Our Father are recorded in the New Testament, and in the sacred liturgy, we use the longer version found in St. Matthew's Gospel. That is why the text we have before us today is not the same one we all know by heart. So let's look now at each petition in this version of the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. The name of God is holy and must be kept holy on our lips. And the revealed name of God is Father, along with Son and Holy Spirit. In this prayer, we speak to the Father, in the Son, through the Holy Spirit. But the very fact that we are commanded to address the living God as Father rather than Master is revolutionary, and is possible only because, by the grace of adoption in holy baptism, we become sons and daughters of God the Father through our participation in the divine nature of the human Son of Mary, who is also God, the Eternal Son. Your kingdom come. This is both a confession of faith in the kingdom of God already among us in Christ the King, and a petition for that kingdom to come fully. And the eternal kingdom will have come fully and finally only when, in Christ, God's will is done by all people on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Here we acknowledge that we depend upon God for everything, starting with our lives, which are a pure gift sustained only by the continuous creative will of God and the gracious nourishment of the Word of God. Forgive us our sins. We are separated from God who is holy by everything in us that is unholy, including every thought, word, and deed of ours that is contrary to the law of love. And so our sins must be forgiven, absolved, and wiped clean by Christ Jesus for us to be ready and able to stand before the Lord without fear of death, and to look upon God in the face with love and gratitude rather than with shame. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. This, friends, is perilous business. We are asking the Father to forgive our sins in exactly the same measure of mercy we offer to those who have harmed us by their sins. God be praised that the Lord Jesus makes this exchange of mercies possible for us by his own petition. Father, forgive them. And do not subject us to the final test. Here we confess that we do not have the strength to endure a contest with dark and ungodly powers, and so we rely always upon the strength of the Lord, and not upon our own effort to live by grace through faith. In every test and trial, our one prayer must be, Lord, save us. Finally, with the psalmist, we praise God for the grace to worship today and every day in his holy temple and to give thanks to his holy name. And it is that very gift St. Paul had in mind when he wrote to the Philippians, have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.